I think there are far more people in the church that are comfortable trusting Jesus as their Savior than there are people in the church who are comfortable trusting Jesus as their Lord.
Ooh, yeah.
And what I mean by that is, I think that there are a lot more people who are willing to trust Jesus with what happens after they die than there are people who are willing to trust Jesus with what happens while they live.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making History. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. Katie, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good.
Good.
Doing good.
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
I've known you for a while now.
Yeah.
And I know that you are quite the deep thinker. And there have been like quite a few random things I feel like that you've been thinking about lately. So I'm wondering if you can tell us what you've been thinking about this week.
So something comes to mind, but this isn't necessarily something that like I've been thinking about this week or that I think about super often. It's just that like somewhat consistently, a thought will like pop into my head.
Okay.
It's like a what if type
sure.
of thing. I don't know if anybody else like ever has this thought. This could be one of those things that people are like, oh, yeah, I've thought about that. Or people are like, no, like, this is all you.
Like, okay.
This is totally
sure,
you.
Sure, Brian.
But I'll pose it in the form of a question.
Okay.
So have you ever like been somewhere or just doing something, even mundane, like driving, and you've had the thought like, I wonder if it's possible that, and I'll set it up.
I'm so excited.
I don't even know how to set this up. I'm sounding totally weird. Say you're driving and like you're the only car on the road. There's
sure.
no other cars around, no other traffic. You're just kind of cruising. Have you ever been in a situation like that and you've had the thought like, I wonder if I'm the only car on the road right now because somehow I've like almost like slipped out of like space and time for a minute. And I'm going to like blink and all of a sudden I'm going to be like back in reality and there's going to be like cars around.
Oh my gosh.
You ever had
no.
Sometimes. Here's another one. Here's another one. So for those of you listening who don't know, I play the drums. I drum at our church every week and there's actually another church that I play drums for too. And sometimes, especially if, you know, sometimes during like the offering time or, you know, during like a meet and greet,
yeah.
usually where the band will just kind of like jam for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
just kind of fill the space. And sometimes I've been doing that and just kind of playing. And it's just like a very like, you know, I'm not doing anything complicated. So
sure.
my mind will just wander. And sometimes I'll think like, what would happen? Or is it possible that I will get stuck in like a time loop of just doing the same thing. And everybody else, like the pastor comes back on stage and the other band members start to leave. But I get stuck like out of like like out of time.
But like part of
me is like I'll blink and it's been like 2 hours and everyone's just like watching me just like play the same thing. I doubt other people think like
no. At least I don't. I don't think.
But I wonder if you will
oh
now. I wonder if you'll
goodness.
Be driving
Probably.
And all of a sudden you'll be like, "What if?" Like, what if
I
blink
Matrix?
And I find that, like, I've, like, slipped out of, like,
yeah.
time and space and I'm,
that
I don't know.
That is hilarious. Well, now I just kind of want that to happen for you to get stuck in, like, a time loop and just
I mean,
drum for, just do
just
the,
play
same
the same drum beat
pattern
for, like, an
for
hour.
2 hours. And everybody's like, Brian.
And everyone's like,
Brian.
People are, like, tapping me on the shoulder and I'm just, like, locked in.
That would be weird.
So.
Well, was more exciting than I could have ever hoped for.
And sometimes I just hold that stuff in because I'm like, I don't think people think the way I do.
No, they don't.
So there's that.
That was awesome though.
Yeah. So what's going on with you?
Just not thinking about slipping out of time. That's for sure. So, yeah, definitely not thinking about anything like that. But one thing that has been on my brain, which I never thought would ever be, I mean, it's a trend now is axolotls.
Yes.
Like the
and
lizard or salamander. Or I think it's a salamander because it's in the water.
It's so some kind like of a
salamander fish
lizard,
hybrid dinosaur thing. And they're cute. They look like they're smiling. But like it's like a trend.
It's super obscure. And they're very trendy right now.
Like everybody, they're like everywhere.
Toys.
We literally went to a birthday party yesterday that was axolotl themed.
Yeah.
And there were like axolotl decorations that were not like homemade. You can get them at a store.
It was one thing when you told me that the party was axolotl themed because my initial thought was like, oh, that's just like her thing.
Yeah.
Like this one kid, this one friend of Nora's just happens to be into that. And like, that's awesome. Love that. But then you told me that you went to the store and you were finding like all these axolotl things.
We got an axolotl squishmallow. We got an axolotl bead bracelet kit.
Yeah.
And like there were other options. It wasn't just those two things. It's they're everywhere. And then today I take Ollie to the pediatrician and we get through the appointment. And then the doctor is like, Izzy was with us and she looks at it. She said, have you seen the axolotl yet? And I was like, what?
What do you mean?
Why is there an axolotl here? It's just been so interesting. And I'm wondering if that's like all over the world or if that's just like a USA thing or if it's just like a local thing. I mean, it's got to be more than a local thing if they've got squishmallows.
Yeah.
Although they do make squishmallows of like everything these days.
Yeah.
There was like a burger and like a boba tea. And
yeah, that's like also super in right
now. Yeah, boba tea. Who knew? These random trends.
Okay.
But yeah, axolotls, they're all the rage. Go get you one. Apparently they're not that expensive.
So weird.
So I was being told.
I never understand the things that trend.
No, it's very, very interesting. Surely something weird's going to come out about them and then they'll be out. Put them back in the ocean.
What? I don't think that's where they're from. Okay. Oh, I don't know.
The creeks. Put them back in the creeks.
Put them back in the rivers. Okay. So this episode, let's keep talking about discipleship.
Let's do it.
This topic is one that we could spend a lot of time talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's one that we ought to talk about for several reasons. On one hand, it's kind of like the one thing we're meant to be doing.
Right.
As Christians.
It's a little bit of a big
deal. It's kind of like the one thing that Jesus was like, hey, like,
go do this.
This is the one, like, this is what I need you to do.
Yeah.
I need you to go baptize people and make disciples.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that it's not really a given in the church right now.
Yeah.
And we talked about this last week, but we are seeing like a hard line drawn between what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
In that we live in a moment where like cultural Christianity is so prevalent that discipleship has become optional.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to a church and you can slip up your hand if you want to say a little prayer that you may not understand.
Right.
Praying to a God that you may not know much about.
Yeah.
Into a faith that you may know very little about.
Right.
and
there you have it.
It's not a given if you're, especially like in the area that we live in, if that is somebody's experience, it's not even a given that they will have some kind of system set up in place to make sure that you are being discipled by somebody.
Right.
That you are being like raised up
mm-hmm.
to know what it is that like we believe as Christians.
Yeah. And what you just said yes to.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not a given that people will have a pathway through which they walk into understanding like this is what it means to be a Christian, mm-hmm. to be a follower of Jesus. This is what it means to believe.
Yeah.
This is like the lifestyle that's expected. These are like the practices. This, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just not, it's rarely built in. And that's a bummer because you end up with churches that are filled with for lack of a better term, like baby Christians mm-hmm. who aren't growing up.
Right.
They're yeah. not maturing.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody doing the work mm-hmm. of like raising people up.
Right. Nobody telling them what's next. It's like,
yeah.
great. Congratulations. You yeah. like accept Jesus. Now figure it out.
Yeah.
On your own. And that's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
And really hard to do on your own and mm-hmm. not something that we were ever meant to do alone. Like you said, no. that's like what the Lord commanded, like go and make disciples.
That's the commission.
That's the thing. And that's not like go and figure it out by yourself. You know, right. like, no,
yeah.
there is a call to community and a call to leaders leading other people to show them,
yeah.
okay, here's what, like, awesome. You're in this. Mm-hmm. Now walk with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus didn't say, go and make converts. He mm-hmm. said, go and make disciples.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
And the difference is that a disciple is somebody who will, over time, look more and more like Jesus
mm-hmm.
and learn how to be as he was, to yeah. do the things that he did. Whereas just a convert may not ever really see that kind of transformation in their life.
Right.
And a lot yeah. of people are left feeling very hopeless in life, just feeling like, I believe in Jesus, so I think I'm going to go to heaven when I die. But mm-hmm. until then, I don't really know.
Let's just kind of trudge through.
Yeah.
Just kind of keep doing the same old thing.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's like, I mean, we've experienced church in that way
mm-hmm.
of like, hey, as long as you believe in Jesus and know that, like, you know, believe that he saved you from your sins, like, you're pretty much good.
Yeah.
Just keep on keeping on. You
That's
know?
And what it was, Jesus has to offer.
And like that, that message is like great when you're in a super hopeless place and you just need yes. a savior.
Yep.
But then like, there's just so much more. So when you stop yeah. there, that's okay for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then you're kind of like, well, what's so great about this?
Mm-hmm.
Because you still feel the same. You still think the same. You still do the same things. You still have the same issues. You know, you're not, like you said, you're not growing. You're not learning things. You're not progressing at all. And
yeah.
it just feels, honestly, it can start to feel a little bit pointless. Like, why am I even doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I like following Jesus? If you're just listening, I'm just putting that in quotes. If my life looks 0% different.
Yeah. If nothing in my life is going to change,
yeah.
if I as a person am not going to be transformed into a different kind of person
mm-hmm.
who has a greater capacity
yes.
to love, a greater capacity mm-hmm. for peace and for joy and for hope.
Yeah.
And if those things aren't growing, then yeah, like what is this all about?
Mm-hmm.
And that may be part of the reason why there is such like a mass movement of like deconstruction right now in the church.
Yeah.
Like that is so trendy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
to deconstruct faith is so trendy right now. And you just can't help but wonder, like, were the churches that these people were a part of, did they actually offer any like real form of discipleship? Like, hey, here's the pathway forward to where mm-hmm. you over time will become a different type of person.
Yes. Yeah. And I think a lot too, when you were saying that, it kind of made me think of like, some types that I've seen of like churches of like, hey, let's don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't. And they have a whole list of like, here's all the stuff that like you need to stop doing to mm-hmm. be a follower of Jesus, but they don't actually show you what to do.
Sure.
On the other hand, it's like, hey, cut all this out of your life. Mm-hmm. And like, sure, that's all great. Yes, absolutely. There are things that need to be cut out when you like make that transformation if there are things that just don't align with the kingdom of heaven. But like, you also need to know what the Lord promises on the other end of that. And you need to know how to walk like him rather than like, hey, stop doing all this and then receiving no instruction on the other side.
Yeah.
That can feel really like, okay, well, like all these things that I've been doing are wrong, but now you're not telling me like the things to do better. So
yeah.
Where am I at?
Well, and what people can maybe get caught up with too is that when you get saved, and what I'm about to say is something, I mean, this is such a massive topic, but I'll try to keep this brief and simple. But when you get saved, the Bible's clear that you become a new creation and mm-hmm. that you're born again,
yeah.
that you are made new. So there is a part of you, your spirit, that is like born again and it mm-hmm. comes to life, right? And it's literally energized by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's brought to life. And that part of you gets made new. but there are parts of you that are not instantly made new that mm-hmm. need to be renewed over time.
Yeah.
So Paul talks about in Romans 12, 1 and 2, the renewing of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's a theme throughout the New Testament. So there are like thought patterns, there are habits, there are still beliefs, things yeah. like that, that are not instantly made new.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you are given the tools and the practices through which like a new type of lifestyle ought to be built
mm-hmm.
that will lead to this transformation that we're talking
yes,
about.
Yeah.
So that new habits are formed and new thought patterns and new beliefs and all of that. If you're not given the tools and you're not having somebody equip you to know how to live life in the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, I understand why people would get very discouraged very
yeah,
quickly.
Absolutely.
One last thing on that before we really get into our topic, because this is all just...
all things that we didn't actually
all,
plan to talk about.
This is just happening. So I mentioned the difference between like being a convert versus being an actual disciple of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people come to Jesus because they're looking for a savior, and that's awesome. But when the church that you get saved in lacks discipleship, you end up with Jesus as your savior, but not necessarily as your Lord.
Mm.
And I think there are far more people in the church that are comfortable trusting Jesus as their savior than there are people in the church who are comfortable trusting Jesus as their Lord.
Ooh, yeah.
And what I mean by that is I think that there are a lot more people who are willing to trust Jesus with what happens after they die than there are people who are willing to trust Jesus with what happens while they live.
Mm.
And like for Jesus to be our Lord means that we allow him to be the one that directs our lives, that we actually like read the Bible and see like his commands and we say, oh, like this is what I ought to be doing.
Yeah.
Rather than just kind of living the rest of our life, feeling secure that we will go to heaven, but not really knowing what life ought to look like up until the point that we die.
Right. Yeah. Like what the Lord has promised and said, like, hey, this is what your life can be.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me. Do the things that I did and you will do everything, like you can do everything that I did and more.
Yeah.
So like if our lives aren't looking like that,
mm-hmm.
what else is out there?
Like right.
feel free to explore with him mm-hmm. and figure out, you know, be discipled by Jesus, be led by Jesus mm-hmm. to see what is possible with him. Don't just settle for just the same old life that you were living before Jesus.
Yeah.
If we just continue living in the same patterns, thought patterns, beliefs, all those things, really we're not giving the cross its full glory.
Mm, yeah.
By doing that, we are really cutting it short.
Yeah.
Of all that he accomplished. We're not taking, you know, taking advantage of everything that he laid out as yeah. a possibility for us
sure.
when he went to the cross and said, hey, all of this is available for you now. You have full access to the Father. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Mm.
And if we're not living in a way that, you know, is radically different
yeah.
to our pre-Jesus lives,
mm-hmm.
really, I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah, I agree. I think it is worth noting. And again, this is something we talked about last week, but in some ways, upon like meeting Jesus and being saved.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, I think our lives are transformed
mm-hmm.
greatly in a moment.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there is the aspect where our growth and our like maturity and our sanctification is mm-hmm. a slow process.
For sure.
It's a very long, lifelong.
Yes.
Honestly, it's a lifelong, slow process to where yeah. we gradually become more like him.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's not to say, though, that like when we get saved, there are, I mean, tons of stories and testimonies of people who are like radically set
yeah.
free from
yeah.
like addictions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I guess
yeah.
probably a better way to say that rather than like radically different immediately. Like that's mm-hmm. not necessarily what I was going for, but I'm
yeah,
glad
yeah.
you clarified that because really what I mean is like if we're not pursuing those things
yeah.
and like going after something greater,
mm-hmm.
then I think we've kind of missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah. There is another really amazing quote that I heard, and I've used this quote for years. And it's one of those quotes that like the first time I heard it, it really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. It's very simple, but it's also very profound.
Okay, yeah.
And it's that you are either intentionally being discipled by Jesus or you are unintentionally being discipled by the world.
Mm.
And there's no third direction.
Wow.
And
yeah.
The first time I heard that, it just really struck me. It was the first time I really grasped the nature of like the reality that we are being formed into the image of someone or something.
Right. Yeah.
That we are never just staying in like a neutral state where we are just like, where I'm just being me.
Right.
Like
yeah.
who I am is being formed and shaped into the image of something.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's either into the image of Jesus or it's into the image of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about like our spiritual growth and our spiritual maturity is that that will never, ever happen by accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is only ever the product of an intentional pursuit.
Right. You're not just going to like lay your head on your Bible and just all of a sudden wake up and one day you're like, I know everything about what it is to be a follower of Jesus. It's you have to get in there and allow him to pour himself into you as well. Yeah. Like you said, it's just, it's not going to just happen.
Yeah. And like our, we'll call it like our formation in Christ. It is something that takes time, but it's also something, and I don't know if this is widely understood, but it's actually something that we have to play a role in.
Mm.
Now, you've got to be careful saying that because our transformation is not the result of like our own doing.
Sure.
We don't have the power to change ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do is position ourselves in such a way that we are available for the Lord to transform us.
Yeah.
So like our growth isn't guaranteed. Our maturity isn't guaranteed. I know that's true because look at the state of the church.
Yeah.
Super immature.
Mm-hmm.
So either we don't have a role to play and God is withholding our growth and our maturity from us, or we do have a role to play and we're just not taking the Lord up on his promises and we're not actually actively seeking and pursuing a life through which we will be changed and transformed into people who look more like Jesus.
Wow. Yeah. And when you put it that way, I mean, it's pretty obvious which one it is, because if you know God, if you know his character, you know what he's like, you know, his faithfulness, his goodness, his consistency, you know that he doesn't withhold.
Yeah.
So, and you know that as humans, a lot of times we do withhold.
For sure. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've never heard it put that way. It's really good.
And most of the promises that you find in the Bible made by God are conditional promises.
Mm-hmm.
There are unconditional promises, but most of his promises that you'll find in the Bible are conditional. And the thing about God, like look from Genesis to Revelation, everything in the Bible indicates that he's looking for a partnership with us, that he's looking to do things with us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that famous quote, I wouldn't even know who to credit for this, but without God, we can't. And without us, he won't. So he's looking for a partnership and he's looking for people that he can use to make the world look more like his kingdom.
Yeah.
More, look more like heaven.
Yeah.
And we have a role to play in that.
Mm-hmm.
He never withholds his promises from us. But if his promises are conditional and we are not doing our part to meet that condition, he's not obligated to fulfill his side,
right?
Because again, he wants to do things with us.
Yes. Really, like if God was the only one lavishing love, gifts, promises, blessings, all these things on us with nothing being reciprocated at all from us, no commitment, no promises on our end, no yes, you know, from us, that really wouldn't even be a relationship at all.
Yeah.
For a relationship to be possible, there has to be sacrifice on both ends, really.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a bad sacrifice, but just like, I'm giving this to you because I love you. I want you to have this.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, and I love you, so I want you to have this. And there's always that give and take in a relationship.
Yeah. He wants a partnership with us.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what this means for being parents, raising kids.
Yes.
So what I said about us always being formed into the image of something, mm-hmm. whether it's Jesus, whether it's the world, that is true for our kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
So our kids are going to grow up, and like our kids are still young, but even Nora, just being 7 years old, it's crazy just how much she is influenced by like her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say like she's not watching a lot of like ads right now.
Right.
Right. It's not like growing up, we watched TV that had commercials.
Yes.
And so she's not really getting that the way we did.
Yep.
But everything in society is built and designed to tell us how we ought to live.
Yes.
To tell us what we ought to want.
Mm-hmm.
What we should do. What you need
to be happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've heard it said that people think they know what they want, but in reality, people typically just want what they know.
Mm-hmm.
So society is built and designed to feed us all these desires. This is what you should want. This is how you should look. This is mm-hmm. the kind of car you should drive. And this is how, you know, this and that.
Right.
And
look how happy this person is. Don't you want to be like them?
Yeah. Yes. You'd be so happy if you had a whatever too, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's never the case, because it's the stuff that culture is feeding us is not designed to lead to a fulfilling life.
Right.
It's designed to meet our like whimsical desires, mm-hmm. right? These fleeting like, oh, I didn't even know that I wanted this new luggage set, mm-hmm. but I didn't need it, but I'll be so happy.
It's so perfect. Right? Yeah. Everything will fit, and it all has its own little compartment. And it's so great.
Yeah. Anyways, all that to say, our kids are growing up in the same culture that mm-hmm. we're describing, and they're growing up in a place that is designed by experts in psychology to know how to get you to want their product,
mm-hmm.
how to get you to want to adapt to this kind of lifestyle or that.
Mm-hmm. It's literally their job.
Literally their job.
To do those things, to get you, to hook you.
And they're really good at it.
Yes. Yep.
And these are, I mean, they're literally like I've read a bit about like the psychology of sales. Like there's a whole science behind it. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I would say even like kids are even more subject to influence, I think, than adults are. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about how rapidly they're developing. So their brains are like just little sponges, like taking in everything so fast.
Yep.
So much. It's like everything is new. So it's like, oh, this is great. This is great. This is great. I want that. I want that. I want that. I want that. There's just like, it's so much going on in their brain. And so I think they're even more susceptible to being influenced by anything mm-hmm. around them. And so how much more important is it for us as parents to be there, to be that main influence, mm-hmm. to really be speaking into them, to be there at every turn, to guide them, to lead them, to say, oh, this isn't the best for you. Like, this looks great. It's okay. But mm-hmm. actually, we're going to go this direction.
Yeah.
It's so, so, so important.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, as a dad, I want to be the type of person that our kids trust mm-hmm. enough to let me influence them.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I know like you want the same. Like mm-hmm. we want to be the type of parents who have influence over our kids.
Yes.
And that they trust and that mm-hmm. they respect. Because
that they come to.
That they come to.
Yeah.
Because like we've been talking about, we want our kids to grow up knowing who Jesus is,
mm-hmm.
loving his word, loving the church, wanting to have the type of life that Jesus describes that we can have
mm-hmm.
by living according to his teachings and his ways and his commands. And
yeah.
all that. But like they are going to have to want that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be discipled by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when and by whom.
Right.
Our kids are going to be discipled by somebody in that they're going to have people and they're going to have things in their lives for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That are trying to influence who they are, who they become, and what they do.
Yes. Yeah.
And we know now that Jesus offers the best path,
mm-hmm.
right? The only path that actually leads to like fulfillment
mm-hmm.
and purpose mm-hmm. and joy is his path.
Right.
But again, people don't stumble into that path on accident because it's so countercultural.
Right.
And we know that our kids are going to be discipled, and we are working really hard to make sure that we get to be the ones to do that so that we get to introduce them while they're young to a really excellent way of living, really excellent way of life that we know will set them up for success as they get older.
Right. And that way they have a good foundation laid out for them. So as they go through life, everything is seen through the lens that we have helped them put in place, you know, of what has gone well for us, you know, the, like following the path of Jesus has been the best thing out of all the things that we've tried. Following Jesus, that's the winner. And so that's what we want for them. And so if we can set that foundation for them, they're able to have all this influence come at them. And they're like, okay, well, this doesn't actually line up with what my parents have taught me. This doesn't line up with what I have or how I have been taught to live. And that doesn't actually seem as good as this, because nothing is ever going to be as good as Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I have full confidence that if we actually teach them the ways of Jesus, we teach them like the truth, that they will see that Jesus is the way to go.
Yeah.
By us showing them and living it and letting them see just the true potential that comes with living the life that Jesus made possible for us to live.
Yeah. And you actually kind of said without saying something else I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
So so there's this thing called the law or the principle of first mention.
Oh, yes.
And this is really crucial. And I think people call it like the law of first mention in that it's kind of a natural law that's built into like the psychology of people. It's just how we function, how people work. And what it means is that the first time you are taught something about a new idea or a new topic or a new subject, the first time you're taught something, that becomes for you like the truth filter through which any new or opposing information about that is weighed against. So take, for example, we'll take, you know, like church, Jesus, religion, whatever. If we're the first ones to teach our kids about who God is, what he's like, and we're able to instill in them at a really young age things like God is good, he loves you, he's for you. If we can instill that early on, as they grow up, when they hear opposing information about God from people who maybe don't believe in him or believe in him but don't like him, you know, things like that, what we have taught them becomes the foundation and the filter through which new information is weighed. And that's like, it's amazing that it's set up that way, because it gives parents the opportunity to instill really good values and instill truth in their kids really young to set them up, again, for success as they get older and as they grow up and start to have new kinds of friendships and relationships and meet new people and go out into the world. And like another example or way that you can use this for good is like our goal is to teach our kids really young what a healthy relationship looks like and what they ought to expect from somebody.
Yes.
That whenever they do get to the age where they're allowed to date, that they already have that foundation from seeing us.
Yes.
So like our girls will have spent, I don't know when they'll start dating. What are you thinking? Like 16, 25?
Right. 30. Definitely later teen years.
Yeah.
I'd love for them to take more after you than after me in that.
Anyways, say it's 16.
Yeah.
And there's a guy that wants to go out with her. And so she has a boyfriend or whatever you can call it at that stage. They're talking or whatever.
They're talking.
Whatever they will call it at that time. At that, so if she's 16, that means that she will have for 16 years watched us mm-hmm. and come to know what it looks like for like a man to be in relationship with a woman
right.
and to love her and respect her.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I do my job well, she will have that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, if she ends up going out with a guy who is in opposition to that,
mm-hmm.
that will come against what she already yes. knows to be good and true.
Yep. And she'll know that, like, actually, you're not quite measuring up to what
yes. I've seen better.
I have, right. yeah. yeah. what I have learned yeah. is my standard.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a good word, too, that you can think of it as, like, it's the standard for which, you know, like, mm-hmm. things can be built upon. That, like, the standard for you is to treat me with respect. You, like, ever since we were dating, have always been respectful towards me. You've always been kind. You've been a gentleman towards me. You pursued me.
Mm.
And that's a huge one.
Yeah.
As a woman, as a girl, you know, there were many relationships that I was in before you that, like, out of my insecurity, I did more of the pursuing. Mm.
Sure.
Let me give you a guess to how well that went. Never goes well. Like, I mean, well, I can't say never because yeah. there may be some relationships out there that
notice
like
you didn't marry any of those guys.
I did not. So typically as a woman, what you want is to be pursued. And so I want to set the girls, if I do my job, I want them to see like me allowing myself to be pursued by you still
mm-hmm.
and being able to receive that well. And I also want them to see me like, I know this is probably going to be one of those words that gets some women like, but serving you well.
I yes. thought you were going to drop the other S
ladies.
Word. Submit.
Submit. Submitting. Hey, that's another one. Submit. That's true, though. I do want them to see me submitting to you well. And like at the same time, having a backbone.
Yeah.
And right. having the courage to speak mm-hmm. up, because I think a lot of times when people hear that word submit,
yes,
they think like, oh,
passive.
Like cowering, like,
yeah.
oh, whatever you say, dear, you know,
yes.
and like,
yes, that's
my lord. Not, yes, my lord. That is not at all what mm-hmm. I think. I'm getting off on a total tangent. That's what I think. But I think that when you are like, as a woman submitting to your husband, that you allow them to take that leadership role. You allow them to say, hey, this is what I think is right. And if they are fully confident, there are times where like, you know, I've been like, okay, I don't know. Like, but I trust you and I trust your leadership because mm-hmm. you've proven to be a solid leader. You have proven to be trustworthy. You've proven to be honest. You've proven to be a man that I know makes decisions well and well thought out. And so there have been times where even if I'm unsure, I'm like, okay, I'm going to give this one to you, but I will still like voice my thoughts
yeah.
on the matter. I'm not just like, okay, well, I'm not going to say anything, but I think you're really going to screw this up. Cause mm-hmm. I think that's actually undermining. Anyways.
Yeah.
I would like as a mom of our girls, specifically the girls, to show them that like, this is what a healthy relationship looks like. And this is how you are to be treated. Mm-hmm. No less.
Yeah.
No less than this, because that's what, you know, you are worthy of. You're worthy of respect. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of true, pure love.
Yeah. And that is literally what discipleship is. It's, I mean, in Jesus' words, it was come and follow me,
mm-hmm.
be with me,
mm-hmm.
let me teach you my ways, let
yeah.
me show you how I do things,
mm-hmm.
and stick with me long enough and you'll become like me.
Yeah.
And that was like, that was always the goal of a rabbi. They would always pick very selectively. Jesus was so countercultural. It was crazy because he picked guys that nobody else would have picked.
Right, yeah. They're like, wait,
they
this
were
guy?
Are these, you like, sure? Teenage mm-hmm. punks. That right. they I can't imagine. But they just
when they needed to be an anger management tax collector.
Yeah, the guys that Jesus picked were not the guys that a typical rabbi mm-hmm. would have picked yeah. to be their students and to right. be their disciples. But he just operated on a whole other system.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, when a rabbi would pick students, pick somebody to, or allow somebody to become their disciple, it would be so that they could teach them everything they know
mm-hmm.
in hopes that they would become just as much of an expert in yeah. that area
mm-hmm.
so that they could then go find their own disciples.
Yes.
And that was Jesus's idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick you guys. And he didn't just have 12 disciples. He had 12 apostles. Mm-hmm. He had lots of disciples.
Yeah.
And the idea was, follow me. Let me teach you everything that I think you need to know about the kingdom mm-hmm. and about life and about just what it means to live a life empowered by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to send you out and I want you to find your own disciples.
Yeah.
And I want you to teach them. And it was meant to be this thing that, you know, over time would just spread.
Right.
And it did.
Mm-hmm.
But then as time went on, little bits of, you know, truth or little bits of teaching or little bits of this would kind of fall off.
Yeah.
And over time, we end up with, to go full circle, we end up with churches that are filled with people who are not necessarily even aware that like they ought to be
mm-hmm.
following Jesus' teachings.
Yeah.
Maybe even don't even know what exactly it is that he taught or right. what he expected.
Yeah.
Or what the kingdom is or mm-hmm. any of that.
Yep.
So we are doing our best with our kids
mm-hmm.
and doing our best to help other people do the same for their kids.
Yes.
Because the home is where this all starts.
Mm-hmm.
As our kids get older, even in their teenage years, like I know it's important that they start to have other mentors,
sure.
other pastors and mentors, people that they can talk to that aren't mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. That's super important. So yeah. I want to find those types of people for them too. But like they're not little for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And these years are so foundational.
Yes.
And so we're going to use the law of first mention mm-hmm. to teach them the truth about so many things so that as yes. they get older, they have that foundation to stand on,
mm-hmm.
that they grow up fully believing that, oh, God is real, but also that he's good and
yeah.
he loves me and Jesus died for me.
Right.
And there's all this amazing stuff available
mm-hmm.
in the kingdom.
Yeah. And I feel like it's worth mentioning too, hopefully it's obvious, but that the law of first mention does not just apply to spiritual
no.
church things.
No, it's
but
everything.
Please have the hard conversations
yeah.
with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what hard conversations I'm talking about.
Yes. There are certain topics that you cannot go for too long in life without learning about,
mm-hmm.
especially with the way society is right now.
I was about to say, now it's earlier and earlier.
There are just certain conversations that kids are going to have.
Mm-hmm.
It's, again, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when
yeah.
and with whom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a parent of young kids, you need to be the one to have the first conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, whatever it is that they first learn about certain topics
mm-hmm.
will be the truth through which they weigh any other incoming information.
Yep. Like if you have
yes.
have a conversation with them after the yep. fact of them already talking to their friend about it or yep. somebody else's parent about it, they're going to be like, well, they said this.
Yep. They already and have that foundation.
Even if they trust you as a parent, even if you have a great relationship with them as your kids, you know, like they're still going to be that, well, they said this, so like, why are you saying something totally different or something a little bit different?
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be that yeah. pushback
yep.
after they've had that initial, this is what this is, conversation.
Yeah.
And so you want to be the one.
Yes.
To get them first.
You want to be the one, and especially if your kids are in school.
Oof. Yes. Yikes. The stories
wait.
That we have heard. Holy moly. Oh, it's very scary.
So,
yep.
I feel like we covered a lot of ground there.
I think so.
Okay. So, we have a couple favors to ask for anybody listening. First, if you're listening on any audio platform like Apple or Spotify, if you could do us a favor If you have found any value in our content, if you could please leave us a good review, that's a really small thing that you can do that goes a long way and it really helps us out. Similarly, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you could do us a huge favor, like this video and subscribe, that is another small thing that you can do that helps us in a really big way. But I think that's going to be it for this episode.
Alrighty.
Okay. Well, once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.